the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Bobby Golden. We're coming back at you with the newest episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. And as always, I got Dr. Jason Bond with me today, my exciting co-host sitting over there with a great smile on his face this morning. No, I'm just kidding. He's about like everybody else that has anything to do with row crops. I think everybody woke up with a pit in their stomach when they saw that hurricane or tropical storm wasn't going to turn. And looks like the mid-delta is going to get hit pretty hard. What did you say the weatherman said last night, Jason?
Well, a lot of rain. Heavy rain. I don't remember exactly what his words were, but I remember thinking at the time, dude, I probably would have said it a better way, being where you are located in Greenville, Mississippi. But he said what he said, and I've kind of been down in the dumps ever since.
Well, a lot of rain doesn't worry me as much as a lot of wind. So hopefully if we do have the eye pass over us, it'll be rather calm.
It's beyond me why the thing won't turn. You know, we were talking about that this morning. It always seems like when they hit land, they turn, you know, north and east. And this one, man, I guess there's, you know, no high pressure or something over us or further west. But, man, that thing is just like a straight beeline right towards the delta.
Well, you know, we've been through a lot of hurricanes in the last, 10 years since I've been here, a little bit longer for you. Last year didn't really affect us too bad. We laid down a little bit of rice, but the way it spun through, we pretty much escaped the most of it. What was the worst one you've seen since you've been here?
Well, I actually drove through going to a meeting with Tim Walker in 2005 after Katrina. That was lovely. So I wasn't technically here, but that was probably definitely the worst one. Gustav in 2008, I remember we were cutting rice on Labor Day, so it would have been this same week. And so we cut rice all day on Labor Day, and it finally started raining about 5 or 6 o'clock that afternoon. And, man, Gustav just dropped massive amounts of rain on us. And it stalled out and just sat on top of us. And then a couple weeks later, Ike came through. And really the only thing I remember about Ike is, man, that dude came through like a locomotive. I mean, wind, and it was moving real fast. So we didn't get a lot of rain off of it, but a lot of wind. So, you know, rice-wise, in the time I've been here, those are the two that stand out in my memory. And then, of course, last year, you know, that would be the most recent one.
I don't even know what the name of that one was. Last year. Harvey.
Yeah. You know, dumped all that rain in Houston and South Texas. So what do you think, you know, prognosis on rice with the amount of acres we got out and you know, the stage that we are with the rice that's still in the field? You know, what's your gut tell you on that?
My gut tells me before tomorrow we'll probably have 50% of the rice out, if not a little bit more. I guess what I don't want people to get into is that idea of, oh, let's blow some salt out today and try to get it cut before the hurricane. If you can't feasibly finish what you got by 9 o'clock tomorrow night, I probably wouldn't consider salting any of that rice.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. If you're going to chlorate rice and you can't get a combine in there, you know, within 2 or 3 days, you know, 24 hours is probably not enough. You know, you probably don't have any benefit of using that treatment at that point. But then if it's going to stretch on longer, so like what you describe, if you can't get it by tomorrow night, then, you know, who knows, it may be several days, maybe a week before you get back in there. You definitely don't want chlorated rice to sit out there that long, because then you're really going to start compromising your milling.
Yeah, you think about it. We generally say 3 to 4 days you need to be in the field on chlorated rice, and we're sitting here Tuesday morning and what we've got to Wednesday night, and then you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we actually had some. We had a harvest aid test. The last harvest aid test we did 5 or 6 years ago when Garrett Montgomery was here. Garrett put those treatments out for us. I remember him doing that, and we, you know, had it scheduled out, going to spray it on Friday and cut it on Monday. And this wasn't tropical storm conditions, but it was a big rain that we got. And, man, we just, you know, it was a couple weeks before it got dry enough, and we ended up just leaving it. We never did get those plots out.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of guys that have been going really well into harvest. And if you listen to what everybody's been telling Owen on Ag Facts, we've said, hey, we're not to the point of mudding it out yet. All right, we're kind of getting there if this hurricane's coming. So I don't want you to tear up your ground. But if you got some that you think you can get, by all means, try to get it.
Yeah, you know, every situation is unique there, and that decision has to be made at the field level. But I'm like you, if it was possible to get it, I'd want to get as much of it as I could.
Well, and I think that depends on where you're at in the state. So if you look at how that model shows the hurricane coming through, well, let's pause for a minute, guys. We're going to do something a little bit different and get somebody on the phone right now. Hey, y'all, we have caller number one on the Hurricane Hotline, soybean specialist Trent Irby, coming at you live from the field, telling you what the current status is with Germoxone beans.
Hey, Trent, man, we're glad you put us in your schedule this morning. I know you had some other stuff going on, so appreciate you taking time to jump on here with us for a second and talk about what's going on.
Glad to, man.
So what I see, Trent, driving, you know, back and forth to work and around, there is a tremendous number of acres of soybeans that have been desiccated. And then Bobby and I have been talking before you called in about the storm that's coming. So I guess tell us what you think about desiccated soybeans and heavy rain. We're assuming at this point we're not going to get a lot of wind. Hopefully that's not a bad assumption, but we're assuming we're going to get rain minus wind. So tell us what you think.
Yeah, I hope, outside of just not getting it all together, I guess, not getting a lot of wind would be a bright side to the scenario, but it certainly makes you concerned a little bit to see all these acres that have the leaves knocked off and things ready to put a combine in anyway when you get this much water in the forecast. It really is going to depend on it. It's going to depend on temperature and the persistency, I guess, of the rain, how long the rain lasts, and you know what that's going to do to the seed. I guess I think seed quality is probably on the front of a lot of people's mind because of what we have experienced in recent years with some seed quality challenges and so forth and so on. So you know, at the end of the day, it's just going to depend on what we really get out of this thing, how long it lasts, and what the air temperature does in and around it.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, what are you expecting out of the phone calls the next day or so? I know my phone lit up at 6 o'clock this morning with guys asking questions. So, I mean, what are you telling people to do? Hold off on the Germoxone if you can't get it before tomorrow night, or does that depend on where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely hold off at this point and let this system go through. You know, there's been debate on making the application, I guess, and getting the leaves out of the way so that more air can go through the canopy and what that might do, and there may be some merit to that, but you know, the unknown, I guess, is the quantity of rain and the duration of this thing and what it'll mean at the end of the day. I mean, if we knock the leaves off and have the plant sitting there, you know, we could start experiencing some pretty major things like shattering from some of this if it stays out. But I guess if the leaves are still there and the pods aren't quite there and we let this thing try to weather out naturally, maybe we can come in and get the crop out shortly after the system moves on through.
So, Trent, what I've heard you say, the three major concerns we would have would be the quantity of rain, but then how long it takes for it to move through the area, and then the effects on shattering possibly, and then seed quality. That's our major concerns.
Yeah, I would say so. Seed quality, number one, and shattering would be a secondary result, but I wouldn't expect shattering to be an issue except on those acres that are you know, already ready for the combine to get to them and just not able to get them out before the weather sets in and does something weird to the pods there.
So where are we at, I guess, in the latitude-wise of the storm track that's coming? You know, looking at it this morning, it seems like it's going to, enter the state in the south and wipe right across the Central Delta and Yazoo City and kind of proceed into Arkansas. So if it takes the course that's currently projected to take, it's not going to stay in the state long, but who knows when it hits land, it might spin out of control. How many days do you think before we start having those seed quality issues that's got to hang around?
Well, you know, if we catch a lot of rain out of this thing, and then it moves on out, and then we catch another rain and another rain, you know, things like that is where the problem begins to compound. If this thing just comes through and goes through fast, I would hope that it would be, you know, minimal kind of issues for us as a result of it, as long as we don't get any lodging and things that could come with the wind. But, you know, if this thing stalls and sits there for days on end, or we get random thunderstorms that may show up, you know, soon after this thing moves out, then that's where I would see more of our seed quality issues coming into play.
The storm behind it, you know, the track on it, it's not tracking towards the Gulf, so that's, you know, that's definitely positive. And the 10-day forecast that I looked at yesterday, I think there was a chance of rain one day next week, but not, you know, not like an imminent, you know, 90%, you know, 100% chance of rain. It was more like 50, so, which is what we've had off and on, seemed like the entire month of August. So hopefully, let's don't borrow trouble there yet. Hopefully.
That's right. I don't want to talk about it too loud. I don't want to make it happen.
Well, Trent's kind of like me, Jason. He's got a glass half full type of look to him today. I don't even see you, Trent, but that's just kind of what I'm feeling out of your tones you're putting out.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at these 10-day forecasts, and that's what I looked at too, I think 40% was the big one for whichever area of the state that I looked at in the 10-day, but depending on what time of year you're in, 40% may be 2 inches and maybe none.
Well, it's like Bobby said, it depends on where you're standing. And that's kind of been the way it's been for the last few weeks, you know, big rain in areas and no rain in other areas.
That's right. Well, the bottom line with this thing, I think, is just the amount of rain and how long this thing sits there before the sun comes out and dries everything up.
Well, let's hope for the best. Let's hope, you know, it comes on through and does what it's going to do and moves out, and we can get back to a somewhat normal harvest season.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the Stoneville projections right now, and it's saying 2 inches of rain and 20-mile-per-hour winds, and if that's all we get, I think everybody would live with that.
Yeah, I think you'd take that bet every day if you could get that, for sure.
All right, man. Well, we'll let you get back to your busy schedule today. I appreciate you taking time to call in.
Good to talk to
y'all. Be careful, Trent. See you, man.
All right, guys. That was Trent giving his take on what you can expect with the soybean situation in Mississippi and the impending tropical storm, hurricane, whatever it is right now. Y'all need Trent, just give him a shout. He'd be glad to come out, help you make a Germoxone decision on your beans. Or, you know, like we were talking about with rice earlier, if you hadn't done it already, I'd probably hold off.
I think definitely at this point, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we talked about the forecast with Trent. I think right now, you know, it looks okay. You know, depending on what happens the next 2 or 3 days with the storm. After that, at least right now, the forecast leans back in a positive direction.
Welcome in caller number 2 to the Hurricane Hotline today. We got State Cotton Specialist Dr. Darren Dodds coming live from cotton defoliation training today up near Tunica. So, Darren, what you got on your mind?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to call in with y'all today. And like you mentioned, we're actually in the North Delta today talking about defoliation. And, you know, really from a cotton standpoint, probably the biggest question on everybody's mind right now is what to do with respect to harvest aid applications with this potential hurricane coming at us. And really, the biggest thing I would tell folks is it really varies depending on where you are. I guess the latest projected path for this hurricane that I have seen looks like it's going to go across South Mississippi and maybe into Louisiana and Arkansas and then kind of curl to the north. It looks like, for the most part, you know, 2 inches of rain or less for most of the state. A good bit of the state, I think, is going to be an inch of rain or less. So I'm hoping the impacts of this hurricane on us are minimal right now.
Man, Darren's way more optimistic than me and you have been, Bobby.
Yeah, we're like pessimists. straight up pessimist?
Well, I'm trying to approach life with a glasses half full type of attitude. That's the only way I know how to do it. Otherwise, it'll just get me down.
So, Darren, up there where you are today, obviously that's a big cotton area. What's kind of the feel from the guys you've been interacting with since you've been up there this morning?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is I've seen a few fields that have been defoliated. But really, you know, this week was going to be a big week, and there's still a fair amount of even kind of green cotton that's still waiting out there. You know, by and large, I think a lot of these guys are thinking maybe an inch of rain or less, and I think the general consensus is they're going to try to get their harvest dates out when they need to go out, somewhat irrespective of the hurricane. You know, I know, you know, if they get more rain than they anticipate, that could change all that. But today, it seems like they're going to, you know, if it's 60% open or whatever their time and their applications on, they're going to go ahead and do that when they need to do that. And a lot of those will likely happen.
So if you were in the Vicksburg, Yazoo City, Highway 82 corridor latitude, do you think that would be the same optimism?
No. I certainly think the further south you go, you know, the greater potential for higher amounts of rain and high levels of wind, and that can certainly create issues with this cotton crop. I think the further south you go, the more nervous I would be with that. But even so, you know, you think about cotton and harvest aids and potential rain and all that, many of the varieties we have today are fairly tight in that bowl. We don't see a tremendous amount of varieties anymore that really string out just terribly. And you think about rain and I guess taking the wind out of that equation, but rain and moisture and the result and effects of that, a lot of times you can see hard lock or rot or color problems or whatever that come with that. I would be thinking real hard about getting some of those applications out, because I'd rather be sitting there just starting to crack open or even just a little bit open as I would less than that, simply because I know if I get a bunch of moisture in there, I really run the risk of hard locking or rotting some of that crop. And with as tight as some of these things are in the bowls today, you know, provided we don't get just a deluge of rainfall, I'd rather have some of it sitting there starting to open up, or even those suture lines form and those bowls opening, than I would sitting there closed or just barely cracking and run the risk of hard locking or rotting on me.
So, Darren, you mentioned, you know, just basically staying on track with the plan on the defoliation application. How many days? I think it's a little different for soybeans when we talked to Trent, with Gramoxone being the preferred harvest aid for soybeans and definitely working really fast. But say you put some defoliation treatments out today, realistically, how long would you expect before those treatments really start working and before you would be concerned with, you know, a big weather event?
Nearly all of our defoliation programs are going to be thiazuron based. I know there's some shortages of thiazuron, and you're starting to look at some of those thiazuron, diuron kind of premixes. But regardless of that, between the defoliant and the bowl opener, really to see the maximum effect of those in that first application, you're likely looking at about 10 days. So just say you put those out today. By the time that front comes in here, middle to end of the week, you're probably just going to be getting to the point where some of those abscission layers are being formed and some of those suture lines and the bowls are being formed and all that. So because of that, you know, those bowls are in the process of opening anyway. That doesn't concern me as much. And let's just say that those abscission layers and the leaves are forming. Some of that wind, you know, it may help knock some more of those leaves off or knock them off a little bit quicker or whatever the case may be. And the quicker those come off with all that moisture in that canopy, the more leaves we can get off ahead of that, the more likely we are to minimize how much rot we see just through a reduction of moisture in a less dense canopy versus a more dense canopy.
And I definitely don't have, you know, my hand on the pulse of it like you do, but I would dare say that, you know, 10 days ago, you know, if you're talking about 10 days for optimum level of effect from a defoliation treatment, we probably didn't have a tremendous amount of acres that had those treatments going out 10 days ago.
Absolutely. No, you're spot on with that. You know, we had some applications right at the front end start about 10 days or so ago, but those were just some of the very earliest applications. And they picked up speed last week as we kind of got through that. And then a lot of folks are waiting to get the Labor Day weekend behind us, and now that it's out of here and this heat that we've had is really driving this cotton to open very quickly, this week and even in the next, depending on what this weather does, you're really going to see a lot of harvest aid applications really ramp up in the next 10 days or so.
So what I hear you saying is, in relation to cotton, we're setting a lot prettier with our cotton crop going into this hurricane than we are with our rice and soybean crop.
Yeah, you know, in general, I think that we are. The biggest concern that I have is if we get a lot of excessive wind, is laying some of the cotton down and twisting it up. And I do have concerns with the level of moisture that's out there. But again, you know, with the speed with which these things are going to work, I'm willing to take my chances with a little bit more open of a crop than I am a little bit less open of a crop, simply because I think they'll weather that storm better just because of some of the characteristics of the varieties we're planting today.
So it's much better that this thing, if it's got to come cotton-wise, it's better this week than in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I think if this thing were to come in here in, say, 2 to 3 weeks' time, it could potentially be very, very devastating just because we'd be sitting here with a large majority of the crop, you know, 90% open, if not all the way open, and probably 90-plus percent of the acres in that boat. That's when a lot of wind, a lot of rain, whatever, could really, really be devastating to us. I think given the weather and we can't change it, I think this is probably on the better side of the scenario than the worst side of the scenario with respect to cotton.
Well, man, we appreciate it, Darren. I know you're busy and know you weren't expecting to do this morning, so we appreciate you wedging us into your schedule. So go teach your defoliation clinic, and we'll see you around, bud. Thanks.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. This has kind of been a different episode for us with a couple of different guys calling in, but we thought it was really important to acknowledge what was going on out there with the impending storm. And so I think what we learned was that, you know, cotton, we don't want the storm, but if it comes, you know, our cotton crop's in a pretty good stage for it to move on through and get out of here, and we'll go on with harvest. Rice and soybeans, you know, depending on where the crop is and, two, where you're standing, you know, definitely some concerns.
Very concerning.
But we don't know what's going to happen until it happens. So I think Darren brought us back around and cheered us up a little bit. So we're going to go with that.
Well, and the model has changed since last
night.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely some adjustments in the model. So maybe it'll wrap on around us. We're going to jump off here for now, guys. But, you know, after it goes on through, you know, if you need us to come look at something, you know we're always willing to do that, so just give us a call.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.